We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Wednesday. Wednesday's business headlines. Senior reporter from the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen, will join us later in the show. Appreciate you sticking with us through breaking news out of Green Lake. To reduce costs, a lot of retailers this holiday season are guiding returns to physical stores by employing an omni-channel strategy that many in the industry are calling Boris. We're going to tell you all about Boris coming up soon. Basically, buy online, return in store. Corey Sovine is a senior vice president at Colliers. Corey's going to join us in studio to give us details about what's happening in the commercial real estate space right here in downtown Milwaukee and across the Midwest. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Corey about Boris and much, much more. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're getting you in the holiday mood all week long and next week, of course. So retailers are offering customers a lot more convenient store options, and designs are encouraged for the physical return of online purchases rather than shipping through FedEx or mail or however you traditionally do it. And this push is saving retailers in return costs and providing them with an opportunity to increase foot traffic and in-store sales. A really interesting approach to real estate. Corey Sovine is a senior vice president at Colliers, a global commercial real estate company and the largest commercial real estate firm serving the state of Wisconsin. Corey joins us in studio today. I appreciate your time, Corey.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So it's not really as prevalent maybe as COVID time, but more and more retailers are looking to use their brick and mortar stores for returns. How has this become like a mini distribution model for retailers?
Well, a couple of years ago, retailers were in fact looking at using their physical bricks and mortar spaces as, you know, more almost quasi warehouse, you know, logistics hubs. Mm-hmm. They started to find though that, you know, they're still spending a fair amount on the labor component of that, and then they're paying generally retail freight on warehouse space, and that model didn't work very well. So now they are just really honing in on technology and focusing on how to make distribution from an actual just store, you know, work better, both going out and coming in as well.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of disruption in retail, right? And people still think of it, obviously, you know, online is first and foremost, but the brick and mortar is still incredibly important, whether it's Target or Kohl's or whomever. Which retailers are doing well in the Wisconsin market, and what are you seeing in terms of interest in opening new locations?
Well, I'm going to go back a second on that. First off, brick and mortar is still an absolutely critical and integral part of the retail ecosystem. The American consumer economy represents a little under $2 trillion a year. Brick and mortar, you know, currently makes up about 78% of that still. I've seen some projections that e-commerce is going to go as high as 25% by 2035. But, you know, it spiked certainly during COVID and it came back. Amazon, of course, is the first thing that comes to mind anytime anybody thinks about e-commerce. But there's a sort of dirty little secret about Amazon is from 1995 when the company began operations to about 2021, I believe it was, they had never turned an annual profit. Now, the company Amazon en masse with AWS and their cloud stuff was very profitable.
Right.
But the retail component, what people typically know of it for, had one quarter of profit in 2016 up until, like I said, I believe it was 2021. Because the e-commerce model, you know, it struggles without that bricks and mortar component. For example, you're probably familiar with the last mile, you know, concept. If you were buying a $5 tchotchke, a $5 widget, you know, from Indonesia, mm-hmm. and it costs them, you know, $7 or $8 to ship that thing, you know, the last mile concept suggests that, you know, almost as much as 50% of that cost is that last mile of delivery, effectively that last leg of delivery.
Yeah.
And that's where the bricks and mortar guys really, you know, thrive and excel, because they have those bases where they can do that, you know, store fulfillment and everything.
And you've worked on a lot of deals, from mom and pop stores to large scale commercial real estate for big retailers. And when we come back, I want to get your insights on how retailers are redesigning their store size and layouts to kind of accommodate the volume of online returns, and also get your thoughts on a couple of trends moving in the future. And then, what are you seeing in the downtown Milwaukee real estate market? We're talking with Corey Sovine from Colliers. This is The Upswing. We're presented by Horicon Bank. WTMJ's Trivia Showdown for Capco's Kids to Kids, brought to you by Quizmaster Trivia, is happening tonight at North Pillar Brewing in Waukesha, 7 p.m. You can come see WTMJ hosts Jessica Tai from Wisconsin's Midday News, Sandy Max from What's on Tap, and myself from The Upswing. We'll square off with fans for a chance to win great prizes. We'll see you at North Point at North Pillar Brewing in beautiful Waukesha tonight at 7 p.m. We're joined by Corey Sovine, Senior Vice President at Colliers, talking about the future of retail and what it means you buy online, you return in store. What are some of the trends that are shaping the future of retail? Obviously, that is one that isn't necessarily new, but it's coming faster than people really expect. And it's kind of changing the way that I'm sure you are looking at spaces that you're booking for clients.
Sure. Yeah. So obviously curbside has been a big thing, you know, that started prior to COVID, but COVID really accelerated that. I mean, I think retailers right now are really focusing in on technology as a way to alleviate a lot of these constraints. Part of the problem with BOPIS and BORIS, the whole e-commerce ecosystem, if you will, is that the logistics, the delivery charges are just, you know, eroding what are already some very tight margins in retail, typically between 1% and 5% is what a retailer is making.
Yeah.
So if you've got, you know, customers who are abusing the system, as Amazon has effectively trained us that we can over the years, you know, it became table stakes to have fast and free delivery.
Right.
Well, it's not free to the retail.
You want it in an hour, you want it in 2 hours, you want it in one day.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're like some people, maybe a woman who lives in my house who buys three pairs of shoes with the intention of keeping one, you know, just to make sure it matches. Well, now the retailer's eating delivery charges both ways, as well as, you know, restocking fees, and then the possibility that they might not even be able to resell that item, so they're taking a total loss on it. And so, like I said, that margin erosion on their sales is just killing them. So they're really integrating with technology. They're really trying to do what they can to drive people into the stores for fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And those numbers are working. The conversion rates are up quite a bit. I mean, you're seeing with some retailers as much as 40 to 50% of people who are buying stuff online are actually going into the store to self-fulfill.
From a real estate standpoint, is that impacting local retail in terms of, oh, we want to expand or we want to renew our lease? Is it, I mean, there's an economic equation.
So again, the logistics component of it is definitely evolving. You know, I think there was a period of time, again, where retailers were trying to build out their own logistics ecosystem, and that did impact their real estate selection and how they perceived real estate, you know, closer to highways, closer to distribution hubs, et cetera. What we're starting to see now, though, is more, you know, Amazon is working a lot harder to get closer to all of their customers. Mm-hmm. And Shopify has, you know, got huge fulfillment networks, logistics throughout the country. 3PLs, Pick, Pack, and Ships, all of these other third-party providers are doing that job for the retailers. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to completely retool.
Yeah.
But they are, again, integrating a lot of new technology into the stores, just new ways to help make people, you know, come in, touch, feel, whatever, experience the product so that they are less likely to return an item. And so in that case, it's just getting closer to your customers, you know, trying to get into the neighborhoods and, you know, trying to be as close to their customers and like kind of retailers as possible.
So we only have about 20, 30 seconds, but give me a key project that you're working on for 2025, something that you like, I need to see this happen in the market.
Well, I'd love to talk a little bit more about my own business, but there's certain things I can't disclose, of course. But what I would like to see, you know, there's a lot of talk going on about 794 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see it taken down. I think that would be bad for Milwaukee in the long run, but I would like to see it. I've seen plans where it's maybe shrunk down a little bit,
yeah,
opening up some additional real estate, you know, creating that interconnectivity between downtown and the Third Ward.
I think with all development, we can meet in the middle and find something that works for all of us. Corey Stovine from Colliers joins us. Appreciate your insights this morning. We'll connect again soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're joined in studio by senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. Rich, appreciate your time this morning, as always.
Great to be here, Jeff.
All right. So you had some breaking news last night that was published on Milwaukee Business Journal's site on Stratech, one of the world's largest producers of automotive power access and security systems in Glendale. What's going on at Stratech?
Yeah, that would be automotive lock sets, everything from key fobs to door latches to all that. Anyway, Stratech has a new CEO, Jennifer Slater, who essentially was brought in by the board to shake things up a little bit and review what's going on with the business and to improve profits. And they announced yesterday that they are putting their property in Glendale on 33rd and Good Hope Road on the market. They have a plant and offices there. And also they are, so they said they're reviewing their operating footprint and how they're doing things. They also are eliminating a third shift operation in the plant, and that will result in 20 job cuts.
Okay. But there's still 3,300 employees worldwide, still a large employer base for sure.
Yeah. They have a few hundred employees here in the Milwaukee area. 170 was the number in the plant.
Okay.
Steel workers, members. So they said it's going to take several months to review their options, and they do prefer to stay in the Milwaukee area. They could stay where they are, do a sale lease back of that property.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to Central Standard, Milwaukee-based distillery, reporting that they're actively looking to purchase a property to kind of help them consolidate their different efforts. Obviously, kind of bringing ingredients in and shipping. What do you know about what Central Standard's in the market for?
Yeah, they're downtown on Clybourne, just north of the freeway, across from the Third Ward.
Yeah.
They have their bar and party facilities and meeting space over there. But they do have their production and warehousing at remote locations. So they're looking to consolidate something closer to their site on Clybourne. Obviously it'd be more efficient and less complicated. So they still want to keep their location on Clybourne.
Yeah, just looking for a larger facility, kind of bring everything under one roof, as you said. I mean, they have their kind of entertainment facility, if you will, right across from the Milwaukee Public Market downtown. That's more of that's to buy and to sample a bar and a restaurant, but they want to consolidate kind of the business operations into another footprint.
Right.
Hopefully stay, obviously, in the Milwaukee area near West Side.
Yeah, they say they're looking in the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah. All right. And you had some news about Fiserv and jobs. The largest public company based in Wisconsin has reduced its workforce a bit. What does that have any impact on workers in the downtown office?
Well, the company is not saying this was really, it was from a research stock analyst report that the company had reduced somewhere between 2.5% and 3.5% of their workforce. Presumably some of that would be Milwaukee. Actually, the vast majority of their employees are not here. They have huge operations in Georgia, for example. So certainly you'd think there would be some impact here in Milwaukee at the downtown office, but we don't have any details on that.
Okay. Yeah, and obviously over the last year, you know, Fiserv has launched a bunch of new partnerships, a deal with DoorDash and Walmart, and continue to grow that Clover side of the business with small and large retailers as
right.
well. We are talking with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. When we come back, news about Foxconn. We haven't talked about Foxconn in a while.
No, it's been too long.
It has been too long. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Always a fast and furious review of business headlines. Appreciate your time, Rich. So what's the latest jobs data from Foxconn, and what impact could it have on the tax credits to the company?
Yeah, Foxconn, it's sort of easy to forget about them because their name came up again with the big new Microsoft data center news earlier this year, right across the road, essentially, from Foxconn in Mount Pleasant. But anyway, yeah, I obtained documents from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. The latest report, and there's a one-year lag, essentially. So this is what Foxconn did in 2023. They added 85 jobs. And so they're at 1,114 employees at the end of 2023. The company told me they've hired more people since then, but they're not saying how many. The company also continued investing in that property, and so they qualified for $8.7 million in Wisconsin state tax credits, which was an increase from the previous year when it was $6.3
million. Okay. And are they still on target then to meet their 2025 jobs number?
They seem to be, because essentially they still have 2020 this year and next year to hit the number, which is I think 1400 or so jobs, and that would get them a total of 80 million in state tax credits.
Okay. All right. Well, always interesting to keep an eye on kind of Foxconn's evolving presence in Wisconsin, because they are involved in a lot more projects, I think, than you hear about day to day. And, you know, it's good to see that they're meeting the numbers and continuing to grow from a job standpoint.
Yeah. WEDC says, you know, everything seems to be going well. And like we said, they're hitting their targets.
Yeah. All right. Let's look to summertime with the temperatures dropping a little bit out there. Some small changes coming to Summerfest, and kind of a new use for the grounds on Juneteenth Day as well.
Yeah, well, Juneteenth Day is, they announced sometime back that they're going to host events connected with the big parade on King Drive. So the Summerfest board, the Milwaukee World Festival Board of Directors, is looking at their budget for next year. And this past season was not so good, at least as far as Summerfest itself, with a lot of rain that cut into their attendance and their revenue. But as far as special and other events, they brought in $5.4 million last year, which was actually more than they anticipated. So they are anticipating, of course, that Summerfest attendance will bounce back next year, weather permitting.
Yeah, and it's good to extend the Juneteenth celebration, which is already huge in the city of Milwaukee. As you mentioned, Thursday, June 19th, following the traditional parade, the event will kind of move to the Summerfest grounds with some national acts, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Genuine, Mike Jones and others. So to really kind of continue to use the Summerfest grounds with community and kind of build that footprint. And do you have any news in terms of kind of the future of the Summerfest grounds and what they're looking at?
They have, you know, in recent years they've done some big capital projects. This year I'd say they're very modest. They're talking about three projects costing about $200,000. So they're talking about improving staging decks and framing equipment. I'm not even sure what that is. upgrading the South Party Pavilion. Upgrading some video walls in the AmFam amphitheater, so that's something that people would notice.
All right, very good. When we come back, more with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. I want to get your more breaking news on Eli Lilly and kind of the further expansion of that project, and get a little tidbit on from Waukesha, where we're going tonight at North Pillar Brewing Company. We'll talk to. Tell you about a, an investment coming to North Pillar that will help them continue to grow. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing tonight. You can test your trivia knowledge at WTMJ's Trivia Showdown presented by Quizmaster Trivia in support of Capco's Kids to Kids Toy Drive. Join myself, Sandy Max, Jessica Tai. We're going to host the competition at North Pillar Brewing in Waukesha. The event begins at 7 p.m. You can't make it. You can still help Capco's Kids to Kids Toy Drive with a monetary donation. Just text Capco to the WTMJ talk and text on at 855-616-1620. Tonight, bring an unused, unwrapped toy, some of your favorite friends, and we will see you at North Pillar Brewing in Waukesha at 7 p.m. A quick note on North Pillar. I saw that they've got a grant from Waukesha Bank that will help them expand with $15. $15,000 to expand their canning line. So it's good to see, you know, banks continuing to get involved in local businesses and growing. So I'm excited to see their operation tonight, and I'm excited to meet everyone we can. Sandy and Jessica are going to bring the trivia knowledge as well. So Rich Kirchen back with us in studio. Rich, you had some reporting on with the CEO at Eli Lilly in terms of kind of what they will do to expand the breadth and depth of weight loss drugs and all the other impacts of pharmaceuticals in the market.
Yeah, well, they just announced last week a $3 billion expansion of a plant that they acquired earlier this year in Pleasant Prairie. So they're going to start construction on that next year. And my question to Dave Ricks, who's the CEO of Eli Lilly, was, would you consider other sites in Wisconsin? And his answer was yes. So they're expanding so rapidly right now. It's a Mounjaro and Zepbound are their weight loss obesity medications. He said that they're selling as much as they can make of that stuff. Yeah. So they are very aggressively expanding. And he said they definitely would consider another plant site in Wisconsin, probably not in that Racine-Kenosha I-94 corridor, but somewhere else.
Did he say anything about just the impact, the economic impacts of those drugs on other entities? Or do you have thoughts on that? Because you look at it, you're like, whoa, the availability of the weight loss drugs could have impacts on the fast food business, on grocery, and just a lot of impact there in probably a good way.
Maybe you should open a McDonald's, Jeff.
I might have to.
So, right. And then what about gyms? You know, you don't have to go to the gym.
Exactly.
Just take some of these medications. Yeah, good question.
All right. Very good. And I want to get your thoughts on GE Healthcare's march to AI and what they're using with continuing to leverage AI and technology at GE Healthcare.
Yeah, well, they've really been, you know, like any business, and certainly technology business, which they are. I mean, they've been implementing AI. They have, you know, like a senior vice president of AI who's based in Waukesha. This year they went to their big trade show in Chicago with an announcement that pretty much all of their new products, as well as some existing products, will use AI some area in different ways. And they're saying that their staff in the Milwaukee area, the Waukesha campus, West Milwaukee, will be involved. But they're going to introduce something like 80 devices. They've already introduced 80 devices with AI. They're looking at over 200 in the next 3 years. So going big time into AI.
Yeah, and I would predict that actually offers additional recruitment and retention opportunities to build the workforce, right?
Well, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's the ongoing debate with AI. You know, does it replace workers or does it complement what they do?
Yeah, very good. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Appreciate your time tonight. Capco's Kids to Kids Toy Drive, powered by Quizmaster Trivia. We will be at North Pillar Brewing in Waukesha at 7 p.m.